I heard a story once about this church that had a fairly large staff, and they loved to play pranks on each other. And so one day a staff member came and hid in a closet hoping to scare the lead pastor. But the lead pastor figured it out, and so he immediately ran and grabbed a chair and stuck it up underneath the door handle. Now, the thing is, though, he couldn't actually get it jammed up underneath there, so the door was never locked. But the person inside didn't know that, so he took full advantage of their ignorance and said, "Ha! I put a chair up against the door. You're stuck, and you're never going to get out." Right, this is the pastor, by the way. And so the person on the inside believes the pastor's lie, which lies are not good, right? But and this person starts to freak out and says, "Help! Let me out! I'm trapped." Now, I don't know how long the pastor kept that person in the dark, but eventually he revealed that the door was actually not locked, and the staff member easily got out and was freed from that dark closet. What I appreciate about that picture is that I think sometimes you and I believe the lie that we are stuck in our sin, that we are enslaved to our temptations, when the reality is there's nothing there. But because we believe the lie, we stay in our temptations and in our sin. And that is not a good place to be, because you and I don't like to be enslaved. We don't like to be trapped. We hate the feeling of shame and guilt every time we do things we don't want to do. And the reality is, you may want to do the right thing. You may want to keep God's commands, but the devil is constantly lying to you, saying you can't. He's telling you that it's impossible, that you don't have the power, you don't have the strength, you don't have the ability. And the reality is, many Christians and non-Christians alike believe this lie. And maybe that's where you're at today. You want to do the right thing. You want to flee from temptation. You don't want to keep doing that same sin that makes you feel horrible day in and day out, but you feel stuck, you feel trapped, you feel enslaved, you feel like you're a slave to sin. You want to do the right thing, but you can't. You want to avoid the wrong thing, but you can't. And that feeling of being stuck is a universal feeling. It's a normal feeling. It's a feeling that all of us in this room, all of us online, feel all the time. But here's the good news. I get to share with you a message of hope today, of God's amazing solution. He has given us a spiritual gift that he uses to free us from all the lies and empowers us to live in the light of his truth. And that gift that he gives us is baptism. Now, if you've already been baptized, I hope today that as you hear this message and all the readings, that you get to go back to that moment, you get to remember all the amazing gifts and blessings that God has given to you through this amazing sacrament. And if you have not been baptized, consider this a big commercial for why you want to get baptized. Or if you have children that have not been baptized, that I hope by the end of this year you say, "I want them to receive these gifts as well." Now, as we get into the baptism, I want you to understand that this is kind of a hard topic to talk about, not because it's complicated, but because every time I teach on it, I realize that the audience that I'm speaking with, almost everyone has their own idea of what baptism is, what baptism does, and who it's for. And I do these classes called Starting Point. We always go around in a circle, and inevitably, everybody says something a little bit different. And the reason for that is maybe because you learned about baptism from your parents or your grandparents, or maybe a pastor that you highly respect, or a teacher, or maybe you did your own study and you came to your beliefs based on a doctrinal book that you read. Well, ideally, everything that you're going to hear today is going to match up exactly with what I'm going to share from the Bible. But in the event that it doesn't, in the event that there's a conflict going on right now in your mind, right, as you hear one thing and are believing another thing, you have to determine in your heart who's right and who's wrong. And so you might have grandma and grandpa over here, tradition, all the things that you grew up learning. Maybe it was a teacher or a theologian that taught you all these things. But today you're going to hear something different from the Bible. And so there's that clash, that wrestling match. And you have to ask yourself, who am I going to go with? These people who I love and I care for, but maybe know it, maybe don't? Or am I going to go with God who established baptism and commanded baptism and gave it to us in his word? Which one am I going to go with? And so if there's a conflict, that I just want you to know that's normal, that's natural. And I've gone through it many, many times in my life, but I've also experienced that when I submit to God and his word and I say, you've been here forever, a lot of times, you know, we're like teenagers. If you're a teenager right now, you're probably telling your parents like, man, you guys don't know anything, right? We've all said that to our parents. And sometimes we say that to God. But here's the thing. God's been around forever. And when you submit to him and his word, there is this internal, unexplainable peace. And so as you wrestle today, which you will, my prayer for you is that you land on this side with God and his word and that indescribable freedom. Here's the other reality. Is that baptism is such an amazing thing that the devil does not want us to know what it's all about. He does not want us to know the truth. And that's why I believe that even in the Christian church today, there are different definitions and different ideas of what baptism is, what it does, and who it's for. And the biggest distinctions are, is baptism a work that I do, or is it something that's been given to me? Is it something that I do for God, or is it something that God does for me? And maybe in your mind right now you have an answer. Like, well, of course it's this, or of course it's that. And I Google searched definition of baptism, okay? And I found a lot of definitions. But this is the prominent one that kept popping up. And maybe you've heard this before. Baptism is the outward expression of an inward reality. It's a public declaration of how Jesus changed your life. Being baptized shows others that you've decided to follow Jesus and allows them to celebrate this decision with you. Okay? Here's one that's very similar to that. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward decision. It's the physical expression of what has happened spiritually in your heart. It was a very private moment when you gave your heart to Jesus, just between God and you. Baptism is letting the world know of that decision to follow him. So let me summarize that. In essence, baptism is an outward expression of an inward reality slash decision. That's the definition I found. And both of these ultimately say that this is an individual pretty much having a coming out party saying, I was a Christian in private, but now I'm going public with my faith. In essence, saying this is something that I'm doing for God. Maybe this is what you believe. Well-known pastors, theologians, for centuries have said these very words or something similar to that. This is a common practice within the Christian church. But I want to point out something. You're never going to find this in the Bible. It sounds pious. It sounds good. But it's not there. And the emphasis of this is I'm doing something for God instead of God's doing something for me. And I want to point out that we are all kind of products of our environment, right? And yet we go to God's word not to tell God what to do, but we go there so that God can show us what he has in store for us. And today what we're going to do is dive into Romans chapter 6, a letter written by the Apostle Paul. A man who knew baptism intimately, a man who needed baptism. And the amazing thing about Paul is that he didn't just come up with some really cool takeaways and the phrase that pays and pious statements. What he wrote about baptism was directly given to him by God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit inspired Paul and said, this is what I want you to write down. And what you have to understand about Paul is that he was not always a Christian. Though he's famous in the Christian church, we refer to him as the Apostle Paul, one who was sent out. He was not always a Christian, and he freely admitted that. He loved religion, but he didn't always love God. He referred to himself as a blasphemer, somebody who spoke openly against Jesus Christ. He was anti-Jesus, and he was anti anyone who believed in Jesus as their savior. He was a persecutor. He was a violent, abusive man. Nobody wanted to be around this guy, especially if you were a Christian. But one day he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And because of that encounter, he came to know that Jesus was his savior, that Jesus truly did die and rise for him. And when he came to that realization, he got baptized. And Paul constantly went back to that day when he received that gift. It wasn't something he did for God, but it was something that God did for him. And as you read through his 13 letters in the New Testament, over and over again, he comes back to the benefits of baptism, the ongoing benefits. And today we're going to take a look at a section of Romans chapter 6, a section that is near and dear to my heart, because there have been times in my life where I have felt stuck in my sin, stuck in thinking, oh man, here comes another temptation. I don't want to do it, but oh, here I go. I have to do it because I'm a slave to this. And having read through Romans 6 and rereading Romans 6, it constantly reminds me, nope, Dan, that's not true. It has given me freedom. It has opened and unlocked the door for me, and I pray that it does the same for you. So I'm going to stop talking. I'm just going to let God's word speak. We're going to jump into Romans 6. But before that, at the very end of Romans 5, Paul is talking to the Roman Christians, and he tells them, hey, you can't out-sin God. Like, as bad as you think you've been, you know, how many times have you not stepped into a church building or not logged in online because you're like, I'm too bad? Paul says, as bad as you've been, God's grace, his forgiveness is even bigger. And he said it this way. He said, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So you sinned a lot, but God forgave you a lot. But to make sure that they didn't misinterpret this or misuse this as a license to sin, he follows up with these words in chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? So if I sin big, then God will forgive me big, right? That's the mindset. He says, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? What he's saying is, though we cannot out-sin God's grace is not a license for you and me to sin. It is not a get-out-of-jail-free card where we tell ourselves Saturday night, hey, let's go out and party it up because tomorrow morning we're going to church and we'll get forgiven. He's saying that's not how this works. Paul is reminding us that sinning is something that we should not desire because we've died to it. Have you ever heard that before? We've died to sin. Well, when did that take place? He tells us, verse 3. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So when did you and I die with Christ? In the miracle of our baptism. Now, there's another controversy within the Christian church. A lot of people debate, what constitutes a true baptism? Is it someone who is immersed in water where you are literally dunked and then pulled out? Or is it having water poured over you like I did a little bit ago with Carter? Here's the nice thing. God doesn't say, it must be done this way. Okay? It can be done either way. Both are efficacious. Both give you the gift of God. Okay? So it doesn't, the debate, there is no debate. Both are good. Okay? And here, I don't know if you noticed this, but Paul, it seems like he is visualizing someone being dunked, being immersed. He says, you have been buried with Christ. So imagine somebody going underwater and they're being buried with Christ, right? But they don't leave them down there. That would be cruel. They pull them back up. And what now? Now you've been raised with Christ. He says, so in our baptisms, there's a miracle taking place where you are connected to Jesus in his death and in his resurrection, which then leads to a new life. You have been given a new life if you have received this gift of baptism. The old is gone, the new has come. So if you're struggling with your identity right now, if you're struggling with who you are based on sins you've committed or based on sins that have been committed against you, the world's going to tell you that you need to take very drastic measures to get rid of that, to be the real you. They'll say, change your name, change where you live, change your appearance, or even change your God-assigned gender. And the reality is, you go through any of those changes, not a single one of them will affect your true identity. But the simple and painless act of baptism, of being washed by the water in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will give you the power to help you realize your true identity. And through this, through baptism, what God declares over each and every one of us, he says that you are my sons and my daughters. You are children of the Most High God. And you find your identity in him, which therefore allows you to be who you truly are. Baptism is such an amazing gift from God. No sin done by you or no sin done against you gets to determine who you are. Only God can, because he's the one who bought you with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And because he owns you, he says, this is who you are. You are my children. You are my sons and my daughters. And because we're his children, he gives us another gift in baptism, which is an inheritance. Check this one out. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. So now what he's saying is that because you've been baptized, you get to live forever. And do you have back problems? Do you have intestinal problems? Do you have foot problems? Do you have eye problems? Do you have problems upon problems upon problems? You're like, oh, my body. You get to a certain age, I have these friends that are retired, but we can never hang out because they're always going to the doctor. Oh, I got this appointment. I got that appointment. Like problem upon problem, right? But he promises that because you've been baptized, you get an inheritance. It's not coming right now, but later, when he comes back to judge the living and the dead, you will rise just like Jesus rose, and you get a brand new body, he tells us. Because of what God did for you. Again, if I'm doing baptism for God, I don't get a resurrected body, but God is doing baptism for me. Therefore, I get a resurrected body. So I get a new life that I get to live right now, and I get a new life that I get to look forward to later on. And there's more. You thought I was done? No, there's more. He keeps going. So he says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, with Jesus, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So that part of you, you've seen those cartoons or those movies where you have the angel on the right and the devil on the left, right? But doesn't that feel what life is like? Part of you is like, don't do that. That's not a good idea. You're going to hurt yourself and everybody else. And the other side says, no, you're fine. It'll be fun. You know, consequences, smash questions, I don't know. But just, it's not going to happen. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. That he says that that's your old self. So imagine that little old self, whatever color it is or whatever it looks like, being taken by God and nailed to a cross. Isn't that a great feeling? Like, you want to do what's over here, but over here, this is very tempting, and God just says, whoop, boom, to the cross. And because God has done that, here's the beautiful thing. He says, you're no longer slaves to sin. You are set free from sin. That chair that you thought was holding that door shut, it's not actually there. You don't have to sin because you've been baptized into Christ. Do you know what that means? That the next time that temptation comes along, you can say, wait. So yeah, I'm sorry. I was living by a lie. I thought I had to do this, but I don't have to anymore. So goodbye. I'm done. I don't have to sin. Would you say that with me? It's very freeing, by the way. I don't have to sin. You don't have to do it. Let's say it with a little more gusto, because that's kind of good news, right? I don't have to sin. You don't have to sin because you've been baptized. You've received that gift from God. He says you have been set free. You're no longer a slave. Sin is not your master. Jesus is. And Jesus says you don't have to do that. That's what it says. That's what Paul, who received baptism, inspired by the Holy Spirit, tells you and me right now. So that's 100% true. So some of you are thinking, well, I've been baptized, but I still sin, right? You still sin? Yes. But here's the difference. Now you don't have to. You have a choice. Yes, every single day you're going to be offered temptations to do bad things. But as you remember your baptism, you say, but I don't have to. That's the goodness of my God. And here's where this is very practical and maybe almost weird. But when you're feeling that overwhelmed feeling, I want you to say out loud, because I started doing this and it's awesome. I just start saying, I'm a baptized child of God. I am a baptized child of God. I don't have to do that. Nope, get away from me, Satan. Nope, I don't have to do that. That is not who I am. I do not want to do that. I am out of here. God, help me. I am a baptized child of God. You can speak that truth over you, because oftentimes we speak the lies over ourselves. Like, nope, I'm locked in. I got to do this. I'm stuck. That's a lie. And you say that to yourself, whether audibly or just in your mind. But now if you retrain your brain and say, nope, I'm a baptized child of God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. I'm no longer a slave. I have been set free from sin. Speak that truth over yourself. Speak that truth over the people you love, because in that there is freedom. And guess what? Paul's not done. You're like, what? If there's more? Yes, there's more. I feel like a ShamWow commercial, right? Like, hey, and you buy this and you get all these things. Well, this is real life. This is spiritual good stuff. So check it out. He says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. So again, he's talking about eternity. That once you cross over to the resurrected life, you'll never die again. Death no longer has mastery over him, over Jesus. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So what our baptism should constantly remind us of is that Jesus died for us, Jesus rose for us, and therefore he lived his life to God. And what does that mean for you and me? He says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. So you have a choice. You can let it rule you. You can live in the lie, or you can say, nope, I'm done. He says, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. So when you remember your baptism and you remember what Christ has done for you, that he died to pay for your sins, he rose to give you eternal life, that should be your motivation and mine. That, hey, I'm not going to live for the sinful pleasures of this world anymore, but now everything that I do, every part of me should be an instrument of righteousness. And so what does that mean? It means that when you go to sit down and eat food, you ask yourself, am I doing this for the glory of God, or am I doing this because I'm stress eating? When you go out to enjoy a drink with a friend, are you saying, I'm doing this to the glory of God, to socialize, or I'm going there to wash away all the past sins that I don't want to remember anymore? It means that when you remember your baptism and who you are in Christ, that when you get on your computer and you start to Google or you start to scroll, you ask yourself, am I doing this for the glory of God or not? When you sit down to binge watch, stream a movie, download something, when you're thinking about something, meditating on it, ruminating over it, when you're getting into a conversation, when you're about to touch something, ask yourself, is this for the glory of God? Or am I offering myself as an instrument of wickedness, which I don't want to do? Our motivation is the gift. Our merciful Father has said, I have called you my children. And as his children, we get to live a new life empowered by him. And this is our power source. Will you be tempted? Yes. But do you have to fall? No. And so the prayer is, Lord, help me to use every part of my being, my eyes, my tongue, my stomach, my hands, my feet, whatever it is, help me to use them as instruments of righteousness. Why? For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Brothers and sisters, the chair is no longer there. It's never been there. God has taken it away. You are free to go. You're no longer a slave to your temptations. Sin is not your master. The law that so easily condemns us does not rule your life, but you get to live in the freedom of God's grace. Because here's the thing. There are times where we do say yes to sin. There are times where we forget our baptisms. And this is where we run right back to our Savior Jesus, who gave us these gifts. We say, I'm sorry. I confess. And immediately, he says, you are forgiven. You don't live under the law. You live under grace. So in case you missed it, here's the review, real quick. What are the benefits of baptism? If you have been baptized, you have a new life in Christ. You have a brand new identity. He determines who you are, nobody else. Nothing you did, nothing anyone else did. He determines that you have a new life. You get a resurrected body. Hallelujah, right? I feel bad for my chiropractor, but whatever. I get a brand new body. Freedom from sin. You don't have to do it anymore, guys. You're not locked in the closet. You're free to go. You don't have to give in. And you have a life full of grace and forgiveness. When you do mess up, you get to run right back where you remember that you've been washed, you've been cleansed, you've been bought by the blood of Jesus. And as I said earlier, if you have not received this gift, and I'm dead serious, please come talk to me afterwards. Let's talk about this. Let's get you baptized. If at the very least, we have our connection cards right there in front of you. Fill that out. Check the little box. It says baptism. And we'll have that conversation. But this is something that God does for you. And as I started out, was there some conflict maybe as we've been talking? I get it. There's a lot of conflict inside of me. But I'm wrestling with, do I want to do something for God, which I can't do a lot? Or am I going to let God do all these amazing things for me through that gift? Let's pray. Lord, you know exactly what we need when we need it. You know exactly where we need to be when we need to be there. And you know that we need the baptism. God, what an amazing gift. What amazing promise, and I thank you so much for the freedom that you've granted us through it. I know so many of us are struggling with temptations right now, and we needed to hear this message that we are set free. We have the power by the Holy Spirit to say no. So God, I pray that this message is not just a once and done where people walk away and go, oh, that was nice, but this is something that we are reminded of constantly, that we are baptized children of God, and we belong to you. Amen.